Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
This is Bill Rayner, back with you again, along with my good friend and Grey Power colleague Gloria Howe, as the summer is slowly disappearing for another year. And just as the heat of February, sun and the balmy night fades, a different sort of heat has been foisted upon us. Not just the announcement of the election this September, but the bombshell of the prospect of increasing the age of eligibility for national superannuation from 65 to 67, and increasing the length of residency in New Zealand of elderly immigrants before becoming eligible from 10 years to 20. This is on top of the Labour Party dumping Annette King as deputy leader because she is too old, and picking up in her place the bright and lively Jacinda Ardern, who presents a younger image. Ageism is unfortunately alive and well, and a major hidden image that seldom gets a mention in the modern cacophony that passes for news. The generation gap and so-called conflict is now between the millennials and the baby boomers, who are being blamed for sucking up all the financial benefits and resources, leaving the cupboard bare. Not so long ago, Generation Zero and seniors were held out as the opposite ends of the scale and in some sort of mortal and emotional conflict. Now, both seem to have disappeared, particularly the seniors, who have been effectively painted out of the social and political picture. Not only on generational issues, but we're also being squeezed between a strong and in-your-face Maori viewpoint and the strident voice of the super diversity sector led by super promoter Mei Chen, and the academic community featuring Professor Paul Spoonley of Massey University in particular. Chuck and the gay community, the increasingly prominent deprived sector of Auckland, the homeless, the domestic violence victims, the battered children, the drunken downtown brawlers, the stranded commuters, the frustrated first home buyers, and the senior community, largely Pākehā European, who played the major part in building Auckland over the generations, hardly gets a look in. Their problems are just lost in the white noise of our modern Auckland, a mere muttering in the background. All a bit unsettling for the senior community at a time when they are facing the pressures and failures of the Auckland super city, particularly in the housing area, where rents are soaring to astronomical heights. The character of many areas is changing, with heavily increased housing densities and god-awful designs of many blocks. The cultural and ethnic change in many areas are creating difficulties as the long-standing traditional communities and social environment they used to are disappearing. The terrible stress of the leaky homes is continuing. Our heritage buildings and historic markers of our past are rapidly going under the pressure of excessive and rapid development of the city. The terrible stresses that younger family members are facing in getting into a first home or even finding satisfactory rental accommodation, and the need for increasing family support, social and financial, so they can cope. No wonder so many old people are leaving the city. Those who have owned their own homes are going to more sympathetic places with some decent change in their wallets after they sold up and rebought in Kerikeri, Tauranga, Whakarei or Rotorua. For those of us forced out by the high rents, congestion and the change of urban character is not quite so rosy. This diaspora out of Auckland by the senior community has serious disadvantages, both for the individuals in many cases away from family and friends and familiar surroundings, and also for the Auckland community, as it is the seniors that keep so many of our activities in the community alive and vibrant. Auckland Council have announced a review of the original Auckland plan, so full of rosy glow and promises of great things to come. It will be interesting to have the debate looking at it from where we are now. Grey Power, for the very first plan, put up the proposal to have a population policy forum to discuss the core assumptions of large population increases and major immigrant flows from Asian countries. These would change the ethnic and cultural makeup of Auckland from a Pacific Euro-Polynesian culture to one of a major Asian component with a future prospect of an Asian cultural majority. The Grey Power concept was to look at the changes and impacts, both positive and negative, and to analyse just where our core assumption would lead us to. We were held down as right-wing racist bigots, and the conversation never happened. Now that multiple problems and issues are facing us in a crisis situation, one wonders what might have been if we'd looked at the whole plan and process openly and critically, as Grey Power asked 6 years ago. The council annual plan season is is upon us, and Grey Power will be making its normal comprehensive submission, including the call for such a policy, population policy forum again. Hopeful the council will be more receptive now that the alligators are biting their backsides. Reflecting on the old Southern American saying, when you're up to your ass in alligators, it's easy to forget the original job was to clear the swamp. One of the major issues in senior housing, and Grey Power and Glory in particular, have been closely involved with council on the planning of the future of the pensioner courts owned by the city. We'll be talking about where we are now with the council housing program and other things with Glory in a moment. But before that, to lift the mood, we'll have a music break with the Kingston Trio's A Worried Man, There Are Many of Us.
This song is for Shirley.
This song is for Shirley.
Shirley. Shirley, what's her name? Shirley.
This is the second time you've been here, and so welcome back. Gloria's a resident in one of our senior courts in Milford and has been active in working with the council, giving the residents a voice and coordinating the resident consultation and contact with the council bureaucracy. Grey Power became involved almost 2 years ago now. Was it 2 years?
Or no, it'll be over two, yeah.
Over two, yeah. Right. And when the major issue of rental rationalisation across the city's 1,400 residential units arose, which led to large rent increases for the North Shore residents. The residents had no representation, or voice or organisation, and Grey Power, in essence led by Gloria, organised the residents into meetings in the submission process and has led on from there. It's been something of a long, hard road working with council. So where are we at now, Gloria?
Well, we've been working with the council for a year and a half, maybe a bit longer, And we've come to a stage now with the new partnership pending that the council will soon start bowing out and the residents will be taking over more of the process.
That's the residents themselves.
The tenants.
So there's a tenants' organisation of some sort, isn't
there? Well, we haven't... No, it's nothing formal. There's not going to be anything formal at this stage until the new company that's taking over the rentals is up and running, which is a few months off yet, I think. They're talking about June, but it's probably later than that.
That must be well behind schedule, is it?
A little bit. you know, the goalpost keeps moving away. They're still waiting to hear from MSD about the registration for the rentals to get the IRRS, to get the income related subsidy.
So that hasn't actually
happened. It hasn't come through yet. No, they applied before Christmas, but it can take 3 months or so. So because it was Christmas period, it might take longer than the 3 months. But and they still haven't. They've got some of the board members organized, but for the new company, but not. And they do have also the general manager has been appointed, but still giving notice and still working for her previous company. So,
right. As I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the whole process of this sort of moving into an NGO type situation is to access the government accommodation supplement.
That's correct. Yeah, the income rent related subsidy. Yeah.
And so that it just seemed odd to me that the government couldn't just make the subsidy available to the councils.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. The council asked for it, but they wouldn't. And that's why some other councils have actually done similar sort of things to the Auckland Council.
Yes, and so what was the actual impact on the rents? What did they go from? Can you remember? Because the idea is that you have a high rent, but you get some of it back through the accommodation supplement.
That's right. If you are under the threshold for WINS, you have to have less than $8,000 assets are in the bank. And then you can apply for a rent subsidy. And it depends on what area you're living in as to what the base rate is. On the North Shore, the base rate at the moment is $96 a week. Above that, they'll give you 70 cents on the dollar up to the 30% of the gross.
Okay, so when you say $96 a week, that's the rent, isn't it?
Rent, that's the rent, yeah.
And then what are the council actually charging?
Well, the North Shore is coming up. The ones that have moved in since this 30% of gross of the super came in, they're paying at the moment $133 a week.
Some are paying $133.
Yeah, the new
are
ones.
$96.
Well, no, some. No,
I remember it was progressive.
On the shore, like I'm in a one bedroom, and at the moment it's going up. In 2 weeks' time, it'll go up to $185.50 a fortnight until it reaches that, you know, until it reaches 30%. It keeps going up every 6 months, $5 a week.
And if you don't meet the WINS threshold of having more, and you have more than $8,000...
You have to pay the full 30% of the gross, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of pensioners don't realize they still pay tax. So it's not 30% of your net, it's 30% of your gross, which is higher than if it's 30% of net.
Okay. Well, that sounds like an issue still on the table to be sorted. It doesn't seem fair.
No, but that's the same with any of the housing that's out there. There's non-profit organizations. They're all having the same problem of having these different types of rents going on.
But $9,000 isn't very much, is it?
No, it's not.
This day and age.
No. But you know, generally speaking, people that are living in the council flats shouldn't have a lot of money in the bank, in the sense that there are quite a few people that don't have money.
Well, that's the point, is social housing.
Social housing. But the council has been, the allowance to get into the units are 40,000. You can have 40,000 assets.
Okay.
Yet, previously, until they changed it, which was only a year ago, this threshold, it was 17,500 in the west and the south. But North Shore was 45, so they've taken them all up to the 40 now. It's all 40.
So it's all standardized across the city.
Standardized is what they went and did.
And that was the point of the exercise, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And even though the different sort of legacy councils had different arrangements.
That's right, previously.
Different occupancy rates.
That's why the North Shore didn't have rates, their rents increased for so long, 6.5 years. And then it started, you know, going up.
Well, I remember when I was on the East Coast Bay City Council, and of course the approach then was that the there was a scheme where the government paid the capital cost of building the units and the council provided the land, which was usually land that was sort of reserve set aside from the subdivisions.
Yes.
And the whole focus was that the rents just went back into the maintenance. Meant the rents were geared to just maintain whatever it cost to maintain the units.
Yes.
Which I think was quite a sensible thing at the time, but I guess the demand has got beyond that sort of approach now.
Well, and the maintenance wasn't kept up quite as good as it could have been either previously, but that's you know, it would have been better if they'd have increased them every year, the 1st of April, when the super goes up.
Right, okay.
And locked it into that. It would have made life so much simpler and for everybody, but never mind.
So that was actually, I recall when we first got involved with this, there were several sort of what you might call unintended consequences from having the meetings. The first was the lack of the maintenance standards had slipped under the super city arrangement. And the other one I remember quite well was the fact they suddenly found there were a whole lot of empty units that had been sitting around, which created some political embarrassment, I think, particularly for Jonathan Coleman in the North Coast electorate as an MP. Has that changed? Has the maintenance
there's
sort of...
There's still a lot of empty ones, but I think that started to really occur when the Super City took over, the amount of... The increase in the empty ones, but I don't understand why the council let them become empty when, you know, they were kept saying things like not fit for purpose, but they have since painted and carpeted them, so they were fit for purpose. But I don't understand budgets for them. You know, they'd say, oh, we haven't got any money in the budget for keeping up, and yet in 2 months' time they've got money without it being the end of the budget year. So it's very hard to pin them down as to why, the real reason of why things aren't maintained and why there are still so many. But they are trying to fill them now, but that's before the new company, and I don't understand that either, because that's going to encroach on their income for the new company.
In what way?
Well, they won't be able to get the income rent-related subsidy on people existing. It's only going to be on new tenants.
Oh, is that right? Dave?
Yes. So that's where their income is going to be increased. Maintain.
So you say from a purely economic point, it's better to leave them empty until the new company is formed?
To some extent, yes, but they're busy now trying to fill, not fill, but to put a lot more people into them. So they're finding money now to paint and carpet. To be able to put some people in. And they said it's because politicians are on their backs to put people in these units. But I'm sorry, I don't quite go along with that. Well, I don't understand the reasoning.
Well, I can understand that when you're putting people into motels at $2,000 a week.
But it's not those people they're putting into motels. It's not the old people they're putting in motels. It's families, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think the general political reaction.
That's what it's come from.
And that's what
from.
Happened with Jonathan Coleman. Suddenly it hit the headline saying there's whatever, you know, 40 empty units in his electorate.
Yes, but it's not families going into those. It's single people mostly.
Well, of course, I mean, there's housing problems for single people. I mean, that's one of the issues that we with the senior community, if the rents go up, and of course they're on the pension, it's impossible to cope.
Yeah. And I've heard of people trying to get in into the units who were in critical situations, and they couldn't get into the housing through the council. So I don't understand how some people can get in and others don't. I don't quite understand how it's all working, and it's very hard. It's like a slippery fish. You can't actually find out where it all started and what's gone wrong.
Because you're talking about the one thing that I've got on my little note here, one of the issues we had as Grey Power, I think, even before we got involved, was the issue of security doors on the units. Promised they would do it? They're on now. All done.
I think they're all done. I haven't heard of anybody who doesn't have it.
No, right.
They put one door on, There's two doors to the units, most of them, but they only put one on. They'd only wanted to put the one on.
was, oh, okay. So what, when you got two, you got a back door and a front door,
mm-hmm,
obviously.
That's right. And the back door is the one that doesn't have the light, but that's not where they would put the security screen. They could only put it on the one on the drive where there is light at night. Anyway.
It does make you wonder. So that does. Well, it's progress. So
it's
at least
progress.
You've got one security
You're
door.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and okay, with the Selwyn Foundation, I suppose it's a bit early to say, but they were talking about having wraparound, like sort of social service services as well. They've talked about that yet? Is it still?
They haven't. We haven't really had. We've only had the two of the men come from Selwyn Foundation and talk to us a few months back. Now it's November, I think it was, October. And they couldn't really tell us too much because the company hadn't been really formed very well. So it's we have heard no more from them since. We only have contact with the council,
right,
which does get very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, because once the general manager's on board with the new company, then maybe we can start having a little more input from them, because I feel us going forward as tenants we need to be able to work with them, meaning we need to know what it is they require as well from us.
Well, exactly.
It's hard for us to make a plan when we don't know what the story is.
Oh, I suppose it will all come. Now, as you say, it's still
eventually
still in transition. It seems to be in transition for an awfully long time.
Oh, gosh, yes. And I think the council's backing off a bit now with tenants too. So this is another area. It's going to become a bit of a grey area here, which is... But we'll just have to see how we go.
What do you mean the council staff are changing, are they? Or?
No, I mean they're going to start, like the one person that we deal with at the council a lot, is I don't think we're going to be seeing her anymore. I think it's going to be, we're only going to see the tenant and wellbeing advisors at our next meeting. We're grouping in the different areas, west, south, and north shore, separate, rather than the big meeting.
And so they're the people that are in day-to-day contact with the problems of the units and things of the people.
Yes. But I'm concerned that we're going to get bogged down with the day-to-day things in these local meetings, rather than, again, looking at the whole picture of what we do need to be looking at as a group.
Yeah, well, how does that work? Because, I mean, you and I think we're on the, what they call it, the sort of social housing advisory panel or something. And then you had the tenants' reference group, which is purely
the
tenants.
But yes.
I haven't heard anything from the senior advisory.
I think they won't be forming anymore.
That's finished, isn't it?
I think so. I think it's finished. Because they don't see that there's any place for other senior advisors, other groups that can contribute until maybe the new company. But then some of them. We'll just have to wait and see with the new company, I think, if there is any place for that. I think there is, but I think we just have to wait a little bit until it's settled down. Because it's going to take them quite a while to just absorb the information they're going to get from the council and to try and sort it out. It's going to be tricky. Just the computer stuff alone is mind-boggling. Because some tenants have been around a long time.
Yeah, you think if you're particularly Selwyn, they've been running sort of units for years.
Yes, they're going to have their own ideas.
And just click in. Because one of the things that worried me when we were talking about it originally was the whole structure is now completely removed from council. Because they got the Selwyn Foundation, the new company's got, I think, three Selwyn directors and two appointed by Panuku, or the Auckland Development Company.
That's right, for board members.
And so Panuku itself has its own independent board.
Yes.
So the days of getting hold of Kathy Casey or Mike Lee if there's a problem are presumably gone. Now the council has no direct influence at all. It's another council CCO type situation.
Well, they'll still have influence because they own the properties.
Well, that's the point. But they look at it as an investment. They're not worried. Mm. They won't be concerned about the welfare of the residents as such. That'll be purely a sell on.
As far as tenants go, no. There'll be no. But we've got to try and keep it to some extent, because I do feel that we do as tenants need to have heard, if you like, in relation to new builds or the renovating of units, which we're going to have on the shore, definitely, because there's been no new ones for so long. 40 years, 50 years, 40 years. Yeah. So they do need to start building new, which is going to be affect us. So we do need to have some connection to that as tenants.
Well, this is right, because this is where it concerned me that that political element has disappeared as well. As you well know, that we were talking about the redevelopment of some of the court sites where they're going to sort of sell off a block for the renovation not keep the land for new pensioner courts.
Yep, that has to be really watched, I think, quite closely.
Yeah, and the philosophy is that I think the council have basically said they won't have any less than 1,400. They've made a commitment to having any more. And, of course, now that'll pass presumably just straight across to the new company and so on.
Well, the new company should have influence to some extent on that because it's their income. So they're going to have an interest in it.
Well, that's the
How
point.
Much influence is another story, but...
Well, won't they have the full influence? I think the council's not involved as such anymore, is it?
Oh, yeah. Yes, the council are going to be building the new ones and the renovations. The new company is only looking after rentals.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't realise that.
Yes, so there's an area there that... But they're going to have, obviously, an interest when they're going to sell off and build apartments, but yeah.
Oh, well, we'll sort of watch and see. And probably just, we only got 3 minutes left. What do you think, you personally think of the changes in the superannuation situation? Is it sort of...
It's a very difficult one. I mean, I've got an accent, as everybody can hear, but I've lived here 52 years, I'm really a Kiwi, just don't sound like one. So I wanted to clear that before I start my opinion. I feel that probably... It has to go up to some extent, but exactly how it's done, I think, is important. And I really like the idea of immigrants having to be here longer before they can get the super. I do think that's something that should have been implemented some time ago.
Right. Okay, well, we've probably got to wrap up. We're getting towards the end, and thank you. You're always a delight to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
And that's it for today. And don't forget the Auckland Council Have a Say consultation process is running at the moment for the 2017-18 year and the annual plan. So make sure you fill in one of their simple forms and have your say. It's a tick the boxes on a few key points, but quite useful nonetheless. These are basically coming through the mail at the moment. And now, just to finish the day, a special Foster and Allen song to get up the nose of the millennials worrying about their pensions. A gentle Irish reminder of the facts of life from the senior community. Foster and Allen with There's Life in the Old Dog Yet. Thank you for listening and bye for now.
I have no regrets. Listen, Varna, here I come. There's life in the old dog yet.
There's life in the old dog yet, me boy. There's life in the old dog yet. Listen, Varna, here I come. There's life in the old dog yet. We thought Maggie Lynch would be left sitting on the fence. They say that she kissed many a toad before she kissed the prince. But she had a plan, she got a man, she joined the new jet set. Though he's old and grey, she's been heard to say, there's life in the old dog yet. There's life in the old dog yet, me boys, there's life in the old dog yet. Though he's old and grey, she's been heard to say, there's life in the old dog yet.
I met Nurse Maloney one night in the Bonanbuie, and I asked her back to Spanish Point to view the scenery. So we hopped into my four-wheel drive, was up the road we sped. Hurrah for killing the scully, boys, there's life in the old dog yet.
There's life in the old dog yet, me boys, there's life in the old dog yet. Hurrah for killing the scully, boys, there's life in the old dog yet. God be with the good old days, I've heard the people say. But for old soldiers like myself, they've never gone away. I'll throw me hat into the ring, and the bad times I'll forget. And I'll bang me drum till kingdom come, there's life in the old dog yet. There's life in the old dog yet, me boys, there's life in the old dog yet. I'll bang me drum till kingdom come, there's life in the old dog yet.
It's
that shouts the loudest lays the largest egg. Or the mule that kicks the hardest, boys that wears the longest leg.
So pack your sack and hit the track, and you'll find your star, I'll bet. And keep her going till the cows come home, for there's life in the old dog yet. There's life in the old dog yet.